all of us at Abounding Grace Radio, Merry Christmas. Here's Pastor Chris to give you an idea of where we're headed today.
What they need to see is what Simeon saw. You're never ready to die until you've beheld your Savior. And Simeon had the special privilege to hold him in his arms. We have the special privilege of beholding him in our hearts.
And this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. I had a chance to sit down with Pastor Chris in studio not all that long ago. Christmas, heavy on our hearts and topmost in our minds, we decided to take a look at Christmas from a perspective that hopefully and prayerfully would answer maybe a question or two that you might have had you the chance to sit down with Pastor Chris. Getting away from the pulpit gives us that opportunity, and that's what today is all about. So as we celebrate Christmas together today, let's catch up with myself once again and Pastor Chris. And Merry Christmas. It is indeed, and with that, it's the best place to be. Luke chapter 2 here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, myself, and Chris, you wanted to start actually verse 8. And I think it's fitting, especially in light of where we were at yesterday, taking a look at the messiness that God embraces and why.
Yeah.
And it kind of picks up again in a similar vein here in verse 8.
Yeah, Luke 2 is read almost everywhere. If you're a believer, maybe not. Maybe this, you know, I know in like Prescott, Arizona, they do a Luke 2 reading at the courthouse. You know,
right.
So it's just kind of the common traditional, you know, passage that people like to read,
yeah,
in celebration of Christmas and the birth of Christ. And I'm always for it. I love Luke 2.
It's a great passage.
So Luke 2 has a lot to say to us. I think there's a lot going on here that is not typically appreciated. And I actually have, you know, in recent years seen things here that I've never seen in previous years. So it's a passage that sort of every time I read it kind of unfolds something new to me that's just wonderful about our Savior. I think, you know, the crucial thing to notice here, everyone around the world today is celebrating the birth of Christ. You'll notice here in verse 1, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. I wanted just for a moment talk about that. There's no place for them in the inn. Our traditional understanding of this is Christmas card imagery, yeah, here. We think of a little motel. We think, you know, they're traveling, it's cold, and they come to the town, you know, here for registration. And there was no place, you know, for them in the inn. That would be like, you know, here in Escondido, there's, you know, a little motel over here. It's kind of a rough spot. And,
yeah,
you know, they stayed over at the roadway, if you will.
Yeah,
you,
yeah,
know, the, yeah, roadway inn. That's not really what's being pictured here. There's an article I read a few years ago and a good case made by a scholar that what typically this word for inn and the place is really a place they would have understood to be a common house,
right,
where hospitality was shown. And in these homes, you know, they would have in the middle of the homes, you know, places where you would feed the animals, which was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more to this. I don't have time to get into all this. But I think what we want to understand about this is the place that Jesus is not coming into what we would think is a noble birth.
Right.
In other words, of course, he is our noble king, but he is coming into a common place. He is coming into a place that is of such little significance. Think about it. Think about this great truth. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, through whom everything was made, who owns everything. The cattle on a thousand hills belongs to the Lord. He has so humbled himself that he has come into obscurity and goes into a peasant home. That's where he, that is where, you'll notice here, there was no place for him. That where he was brought. It's a peasant home.
And even they didn't have room.
No. And so, you know, where he would have been put, there's a lot of discussion. But I think that's the point to say here. What we're being impressed with here is Jesus has come into obscurity, and it's not what we would expect the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to come into. It's teaching us Philippians 2 right out of the gates, that right from the beginning, right, he humbled himself and made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a slave, right, and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. We always want to sentimentalize this. We always want to make it special and cozy and warm. There was nothing pleasant about this. There was nothing cozy about this. And I think that the amazing thing is who does he come, and where do the angels come? Who do they come to? Shepherds. We're not down to the royalty. We're not in Herod's palace. We're not in Caesar's palace. We're not, you would think, right? You know, if something of this is the whole pivotal point of history, you would think this would be announced, you know, in Rome.
Right.
We're out in the hills to shepherds, to nobodies. And the first thing you say is this is exactly what 1 Corinthians 1 said. Look at your calling, brethren. God has not called many wise, you know, many noble, many of the excellent people of the world. God has come to the little people. God has come to the needy, to the poor, to the downtrodden, to those who the world totally despises. This is whom God comes and gives this glorious announcement to. And I think we can say that in our own lives, can't we?
Right. Yeah.
We're not big people in this world. We haven't made tons of money in this world. We don't have our name on Hollywood stars. How many of those really become believers? Very, very few.
Right.
Very few. It's not the great people of the world the Lord has come to. He's come to the lowly. And we see that even in choosing Joseph and Mary.
How many of us lowly people actually have physical access to, say, the Queen of England, the President of the United States, even, or even some of these celebrities that you talked about, the Walk of Fame?
Yeah.
We don't, and we can't. But this narrative...
He comes to us.
He comes to us.
Oh, this is amazing, isn't it? It's overwhelming. Our Savior comes to us. But it's, you know, and look at the joy. The angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them. They were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news." That's the gospel. Great joy for all the people. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." typically on the Christmas cards, they get that all wrong.
Yes.
But notice there, it's those whom he has chosen. Those whom he has chosen to give this announcement of peace to. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he's pleased." I think it's important to also say, Andy, the peace we're talking about is not earthly peace.
No. Paul talks about it in Romans 5:1, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Peace with God.
Having been justified by faith, we have peace
with God. Not the peace of God,
right?
Which is not to say that it's non-existent. But if you ever want the peace of God, you can't get there unless you first have peace with God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the announcement. War is over.
Yeah.
Because after the fall, we're enmity with God. We hate God and our neighbor. And this is the problem, isn't it? And so, you know, many people today, you know, every year, you know, the Pope will read a declaration at Christmas, and he'll do it. He's probably doing it today. I haven't looked at it yet, but it will announce all kinds of earthly peace. And I think that's confusing for people, because we have to make very clear that what we're talking about in the Christian gospel is an announcement of a way of peace with a God with whom you have made war because of your sin.
we often want to play a victim card, and we're not the victim. God.
Yeah. Well,
is
we're in a victim culture.
Yeah.
And everyone's a victim, and nobody's guilty of anything. And
our abuse has victimized God.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, this is very clear that the clear message of Christmas is we have broken the law. We're at enmity with God under his judgment. And God is announcing here out in the fields to the lowly, the way of peace, the presentation of our peace. He himself is our peace. Ephesians 2. And when you have him, you have everything you need to have a reconciled relationship with the Lord. It's beautiful. Yeah. It's beautiful.
You and I, when we were at a church up in Central California for a season, I got to spend time at Corcoran State Prison, and I always found it amazing that I could take a gospel to somebody as lowly and as broken and have it readily received. Meanwhile, most of the rest of us outside would go, oh, yeah, that's nice, that's nice, that's nice, and go on about our business. This is what's going on in Luke 2, isn't it? That's a great point.
Yeah. I mean, that is exactly right. I remember preaching at the Modesto Rescue Mission many times years ago. I go in there when I was in an internship, and broken place. You know, people who have been just destroyed their lives through abuses and addictions and you name it, right? I go in there and I remember saying to them, how many of you want to be set free by the blood of Christ to a new life? Every single hand went up.
Yeah.
You know, you ask that question today to many Christians who, you know, have full glasses of eggnog and everything's going well. The tree is full of presents and, you know, we have a very full life. How many people want to be set free? You know, I think your point is absolutely right. We have to never forget we are the broken, the downcast, and the sinners that the scripture is talking about. And if we ever lose sight of our need, we've missed what this is all about.
I've always told the guys in prison, the only difference between you and me, you got caught. My heart's just as vile as yours.
And we were more crafty than them.
Yes, exactly.
To avoid getting caught.
And at the end of the day, what Luke 2 and what you're saying to our audience today is you may find yourself in generous means. You may find yourself living a nice life. That does not preclude the fact that you must spiritually, mentally, and with an earnest heart see yourself as broken as one of those guys in prison. With all lost.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you will be lost.
Yeah, I mean, that's just so crucial here, and that's what the Gospels are teaching us in the coming of the Savior. You know, Jesus made it very clear, and this is why you have application passages in James. It said, listen, you know, give the poor man the seat. Don't associate with the rich. They're the ones that'll drag you into court. The point there is, you know, how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It's not the fact that he has money. It's that the fact that people who have everything in this life don't think they need anything. And the message of Christianity is you need everything. You need everything from somebody who has to come and rescue you and save you. And this is what's being announced here and shown to us in his coming to shepherds. There's something else I want to focus on here, though, that I mentioned at the beginning.
Take off.
I'm pretty giddy about.
Yes.
It says it twice. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Says it again. When he speaks to the angel speaks to the shepherds, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Now, why is that such a sign? Now, I have, I've had some babies, you know, well, I haven't had babies. My wife has had babies,
right.
But you know, I've seen the whole process.
We're fathers.
We're fathers. And, those babies are wrapped in swaddling cloths and they're put in little, you know, little things.
Mm-hmm.
What is so significant about that? And I remember when I would read over this, you know, just, wow, that's interesting. You know, that's neat. Little nice, neat sign of a baby. There's nothing unique about that until you see it.
And for good reason, anytime the Lord repeats himself, you've got to take notice.
You need to take notice. What did the shepherds see? So you're going to go to the city of David, and this is going to be a sign. What you're going to find when you go is going to be a little baby wrapped in these cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. When the shepherds get there, when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. They saw this and they said, "We see." And they went out and told everyone the gospel. What did you see? Well, I just saw a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. No, that's not what they saw. That is not what they saw. Let me tell you what they saw. Fast forward in Luke to the chapter 23. This man went down to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever yet been laid. This was a preview of coming attractions, if you will. They went and they saw a little baby in linen cloths, their grave clothes, wrapped in a little tiny stone box, set in a stone box. And that was a sign. What the shepherds saw right then and there was that this child was destined to die. This child would go to the cross, and this child would be wrapped in grave clothes and be put in a little stone tomb.
Which, by the way, don't miss it. Would you ever think there would have been another child laid there?
No, and
this was a manger. This was used for feeding animals. Yeah. You never put a child there.
Yeah, and a manger is a feeding trough. It is telling you, it is giving you, I said the preview of coming attractions, the story. It's showing you, forecasting the future of what he has come to do. And that's where I think is so important for the celebration properly of what we call Christmas. To avoid all the consumerism, to avoid all the, you know, stuff that goes on, to see the gift, God's gift wrapped in grave clothes, who would be placed in a tomb and would burst out of that tomb in resurrection joy. That's what they saw, and that's what they're singing about, to forgive our sins. That's the announcement at Christmas. That's what we're celebrating at Christmas.
So really, then, it's nothing that is, like you said, a Hallmark moment where it's just nice and quaint. And really, to add on to that, the fact that is this why we are so inundated with the once a year, maybe twice a year, people who come to church? It's not offensive.
Yeah.
The consumerism version of this isn't offensive, is it?
You know, I've gone back and forth on how to handle that. You know, church is always, at least my experience, packed out on Easter and Christmas, you know. And I used to get irritated. I used to say, I remember, you know, this is probably offensive to someone, but I say, you know, if you're here, you know, thinking you please God because you've come once a year, I just want you to know you didn't please God. You offended him. You know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I've kind of rethought, you know, I'm happy they're there.
Yeah.
And I think, okay, the Lord has brought them today. And I pray that they're not going to get the sentimentalism that they want from me. They're just not going to get it if you're preaching the scripture. So let's deliver the gospel to them. Let's deliver the good news to people who don't really understand all this, find a cultural connection to it, or think it's just a good thing to do. What they need to see is what Simeon saw.
Hmm.
You know, I was thinking about that, and maybe to close this program today. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And as soon as he held the child, this is such a beautiful moment, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace. According to your word, my eyes have seen your salvation that you've prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." You know, what Simeon was saying is, I am ready to die when I behold my Savior.
Now we're back to that peace we talked about a moment ago, aren't we?
Yeah.
He knew the peace with God.
You're never ready to die until you've beheld your Savior.
Yes.
And Simeon had the special privilege to hold him in his arms. we have the special privilege of beholding him in our hearts.
Oh, amen.
And when you believe the gospel and you've seen your Savior and you see this indescribable gift, as Peter says, and you take that gift into your thought, in your thoughts and minds, and believe, you are ready to die. You never, you know, you're never really living until you get to this point.
Until you live.
And that comes with seeing how great a salvation's been given and the provision that has been made to deal with your sin. And that's what the gospel is all about. That's what we're ultimately celebrating in the celebration of what we call Christmas.
Exactly. And as we move along into the new year, that is precisely what we will be emphasizing and focusing on. In fact, that's what we've always focused on here on Abounding Grace, is the gospel of grace, the Amen. Gospel of Christ. And God willing, we'll continue to do so. Brother, we are out of time. So with that, let me just say, on behalf of the board members of Abounding Grace, your lovely wife, all of us here at Abounding Grace,
Merry Christmas.
And with that, we come to the end of our Christmas Day edition of Abounding Grace Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. We trust and pray our time together has encouraged you in Christ, has given you a new appreciation for just exactly what it is we celebrate every year this time of year. If you have questions or comments, as always, we stand ready to do our best to answer them. Prayer requests, bring them on. We'll do our best to hold you up in prayer as well. Would you do the same for us? It would mean a great deal to us. Abounding Grace Radio exists that you might grow in Christ and that others might grow as well. To that end, we rely on you, our listeners, financially and prayerfully, that this broadcast might continue throughout the United States, wherever the Lord might lead. Whether it's a one-time gift, a monthly gift, small or large, each gift in its own means a great deal to us and will go a long way. 100% of it goes right back into the radio program. Learn more at agradio.org, that's agradio.org, or to send along a donation. You can securely give online, again, at agradio.org, or call 888-504-8805. If writing out a check, licking a stamp, and sending it off in an envelope is something you're comfortable with, you can do that as well. The address is Abounding Grace Radio, Post Office Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. When you do visit AG Radio, please remember that other platforms are available. It's a great place to jump off to those platforms at agradio.org. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of the links are there at our website. So plan on making the most of your time at agradio.org and those other avenues as well. Well, as we close out our time together, we do so with a look ahead to tomorrow's broadcast as we spend the week reflecting on the birth of Christ. Once again, here's Pastor Chris. Tomorrow, we're in the book of Isaiah.
God won't let the darkness reign. God won't let the darkness continue. Now, what a message that is for us, isn't it? He won't. The Lord says darkness and gloom, darkness and gloom. And then seemingly out of nowhere, everything changes with the brightest light we get in the Bible. You have multiplied the nation. Listen to this. Verse 3. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, and they are glad when they divide the spoil. You say, what in the world is that? And when is that? What are you talking about? And all of a sudden, this beautiful declaration is made. Those who walked in darkness have seen a great light. What we have here is that the darkness had totally invaded the land. In the context, the Assyrian oppression had reached their necks. But the real truth here is, it would not endure. The whole earth is pictured as groping about in darkness, and then comes this. Then comes verse 6. For unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given.
One of my favorite passages. We'll visit that passage tomorrow on Abounding Grace Radio. Join us then. Thank you so much for spending time with us again. Merry Christmas. And until tomorrow, may Christ be your abounding grace. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.